George Orwell wrote 1984 in response to the totalitarian ideologies of his day, fascism and communism. But does his dystopian story of Big Brother and Doublethink still hold up today? The Actors Gang, a theater group in Los Angeles, thinks it does. The group recently staged a theatrical adaptation of 1984, set in our own time. Three of the actors, Steve Porter, Vijay Foster, and Cameron Dye, stopped by our studio to perform a scene.
Hey, I heard that little boy of mine really let fly at you with his slingshot the other day.
He was a little upset, couldn't go to the execution.
Oh, he missed a good one.
Goldstein, that's what he called you. He called you Goldstein.
You know, I think it spoils it when they tie their feet together.
Shows the right spirit, though, doesn't it?
I like to see them kicking.
Hey, did you hear what my little girl did last Saturday?
Don't you, Smith?
Well, she slipped off from a hike. She got two other girls to go with her. She slipped off from a hike and spent the whole afternoon following a strange man through the woods. Stayed on his tail for 4 hours, and finally, when they got to the edge of town, turned him over to the patrol, said he was some kind of a spy.
Why?
Well, she said she'd never seen anybody wearing those kind of shoes before, so he must be a foreigner. That's pretty smart for seven, huh?
What happened to him?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they strung him up, you know.
Good.
Yes, we can't afford to be too careful.
No. Hey, Syme, how's that dictionary coming?
Oh. Well, Parsons, I'm surprised you asked. Well, you know, the 11th edition is the definitive one. We're finally getting the language into shape. What do you think the most difficult part has been, Smith?
I don't know.
Guess! Parsons?
Oh, don't ask me. If I had brains enough to make up words, I wouldn't know what to do with them.
To do with which?
What?
Words or brains?
Which?
You wouldn't know what to do with which.
Which what?
Never mind.
You see, that is exactly the problem we're having. Imprecision of language.
So new words will clear things up?
No. That's what everybody thinks. You know, I expected more from you, Winston. No. Making words is easy. Destroying words, that's the challenge. Getting rid of redundancy and vagueness. Fewer words, greater precision. And so we get rid of confused thought, confused action, confused people.
I'm confused.
For instance, if you have a word like good, why say bad? Ungood will do just as well.
Better.
Much better.
Why?
Oh, I have no idea, really.
Because it's an exact opposite.
Exactly. And if you want a stronger version of good, well, why have a whole string of vague, useless words like splendid and excellent and all the rest of them? Plus good covers the meaning.
Double plus good.
Yes, Parsons. And not only will we make language more precise, we'll make citizens more precise.
Extra double plus good.
Don't push it. You see, the whole aim of Newspeak, Winston, is to narrow the range of thought. In the end, we'll make thought crime impossible, because there'll be no words to express it. Every year, fewer and fewer words, and the range of consciousness always a little smaller. Has it ever occurred to you, Winston, that in the future, not a single human being will be able to understand the conversation that we're having right now?
That never occurred to me.
That's why I didn't ask you.
Oh.
A scene from 1984, performed by the Actors Gang. The group's artistic director is Tim Robbins, who's best known for his own acting roles in movies like Bull Durham and Mystic River. Robbins recently reread Orwell's novel. And, as he told Steve Paulson,
what was so striking about it was how relevant it was to now. Hmm. You know, when I would first mention that I was doing a production in 1984, the first reaction was, of course, well, we're past that, aren't we?
Sure. I mean, this was, you know, written in 1948, right after the Second World War had ended, the beginning of the Cold War. It seemed like a different world back then.
It was and it wasn't. What Orwell had gotten right were his references to war and the reason for it being a perpetual necessity. As long as we had an enemy, then the leaders could rule from a base of fear.
And you think that's what's going on right now?
I think it's pretty obvious that we've been dealing with the politics of fear for quite some time now, and also the politics of deception and out-and-out lying. To motivate public support for the war, there's an awful lot of liberties taken with the truth. And terrorism, the word, the concept, even the idea that you can fight a war against what is in essence a tactic, is right from 1984, the book.
So how did you, and the playwright that you worked with, how did you go about turning the novel into a play?
Well, his framing device, which I thought was brilliant, was to set it all in one place. We know from the book that Winston Smith kept a diary. The play opens with the torture of Winston Smith, which is also in the book. Another relevant thing in the play and in the book to now. What happens in the course of the story of the play is that the torturers use his diary to take him back into his crimes against the state, crimes that are essentially thought crimes.
Now, Orwell is, I suppose, maybe even most famous for these ideas, doublethink and newspeak. One of the most brilliant ways that he demonstrates this idea of doublethink is the various ministries of the government, the Ministry of Truth, which is what controls the mass media, or the Ministry of Love, where people are tortured and executed.
Well, we used to have the Department of War, the War Department in the United States. After World War II, it became the Defense Department. Language is really important, and how things are framed. When you call something a smart bomb, or you call something, you know, a brutal death, collateral damage, it's not an accident that those words are used. They're meant to nullify the real meaning of the action.
Aren't there essentially three classes in 1984? There's the inner party, the people who essentially rule, and then there's the outer party, sort of those functionaries who carry out the policies, and Winston Smith was one of those. And then there's the vast majority of people, the proletarians.
The proles, yes. And it's interesting, when I first read the book, my concept of Big Brother, and I thought, well, yeah, that's an interesting concept, but how could it be possible that everyone is monitored? Because if everyone is monitored and spied upon, who's doing that? You need as many people to do that as you would have people in the world. And then upon rereading the book, I came upon a passage that I had forgotten about, which is that they don't care about 85% of the people, the proles. They are so stupefied by overwork and entertained by their telescreens that they don't represent a threat to the inner party. What they do care about is the members in positions of power in the outer party and the inner party. And those are the people they monitor continually. And you think about it today, I don't think you can be in a position of power in the government or in a major corporation making decisions that affect people's lives and be so naive to believe that your emails are not being looked at or your phones aren't capable of being monitored. That's the way we have it right now. Certainly, people in government that are naive enough to leave paper trails wind up in trouble an awful lot.
So they need to get rid of those paper trails.
Right. And why is there, you know, I have to stress, though, that my ambition in doing this play doesn't come from a position of paranoia or helplessness. My ambition with the play was to put forth an allegorical warning that Orwell put forth. With information, there is power. With a knowledge of what you're up against comes a tremendous amount of strength. That's ultimately the power of the book for me, was that Winston Smith found a way, in the midst of all of this oppressiveness, to be in love, to find a way to express himself and find his youth and his inner passion and his humanity through a woman.
Then, of course, what happens is that he's caught. They're caught together, and they're having this illicit affair, and they're not supposed to have that. And then it turns out they've been monitored the whole time, and he's tortured, and essentially he's brainwashed. I mean, isn't that really the bottom line story of this novel? That, I mean, what Big Brother is out to do is to break him, to, in the end, make him love Big Brother. I mean, this horrible force that he's hated before.
And to renounce his love for the woman. And ultimately, they go about this because he has read Goldstein's book, which holds the radical concepts of the freedom of the individual. And it's chock full of information, the book within the book, about Big Brother and the way it works. And if you imagine reading that book, for example, in Eastern Europe in the late 40s and 50s, how revelatory that book could have been, mm-hmm. to people. You know, the liberation of it is power. If you understand conceptually what a government is capable of doing, and you understand that the only way to fight that sometimes is individual freedom, to first be free in your own mind and in your own heart, and know that the power exists for freedom because of that, not because of a mass movement necessarily, but because, first of all, the individual has the power to find freedom.
It seems to me there are two ways you could stage a theatrical adaptation of 1984. Probably the most common way would be to set it in the future, some dystopian society that's horrible and totalitarian. The other way, the sort of the more politically charged way, is to set it now in our own society. That's what you've done, haven't you?
Yes. There's nothing futuristic about it. Being that it's a stage play, you'd recognize the suits of the people that people are wearing, and you'd recognize the behavior of people and the language of people as being of today. If I were to do a movie, I would set it in bright sunshine. I wouldn't have the grays and the bleakness that I've seen in adaptations in the past. That's scarier for me.
Hmm. You want people to draw those parallels to what's happening in the world right now.
I think Orwell did, too. I think that was the whole purpose of it.
Tim Robbins, talking with Steve Paulson. Robbins is an Oscar-winning actor and the artistic director of The Actors Gang, which has adapted 1984 for the stage.